Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, TGIF, airing of the grievances, Dominic.
Happy Friday to you, Evan, on the board, our fair audience. Happy, happy Friday to us all. We've made it, baby. We got a big show today.
Buddy, I am very impressed. You have booked Daniel Lenz from Law Forward at 4:30 Central Time today. And why is that relevant? Why is that relevant? Well, let me tell you why. Corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman, well, he caught an ethics complaint today from Law Forward. So we're going to discuss, we're going to talk amongst ourselves about 4:30 today.
Again, a 108-page complaint. It seems quite long. I haven't written a report in a while, but that seems like a long complaint.
I'm going to have to ask Dan, double-spaced?
Right.
So
15 font.
We've got that to look forward to, Dom. But before we get there, if you're unclear of the method of the airing of the grievances, you know, sort of Festivus style, if you're finding us a new, well, A, welcome. Welcome to the political party. And B, we air grievances. And what's that mean? It means you call us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, and you tell us what's on your mind, and you can kind of crank a little, you know. Here's what cranks my gears, Dominic. Well, today, if you don't mind me being a little, you know, Peter Griffith style.
Well, I mean, you should lead by example, Crudy. I mean, you explained it, but now you gotta, you know, some people need to be shown. What are you talking about?
I want to air a grievance, Dom. Here's what cranks my gear. Trump lawyer returned to conduct committee by Wisconsin Supreme Court. How could that possibly be? Our friend Jesse Apoyan reports at the Cap Times. In an ideologically split decision, the state Supreme Court voted Thursday to reappoint James Troupas.
Who?
Jim Troupas.
Who's that?
The lawyer who represented former President Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin to the state's Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. State's Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee. He is often known as Judge Jim Troupas. And he is literally, not only did he try to overturn the will of Wisconsin voters through litigation, right up until December 14th of 2020, after Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin, well, Troupas tried to have, what, up to 220-something thousand absentee ballots thrown out. Not across the state, but only in Madison, well, Dane County, and Milwaukee County, the two most democratically populated parts of the state. So anyways, that Jim Troupas. Oh, yeah.
That Jim Troupas.
There's
Jim
also Troupas. The fact that he apparently is involved with the false Trump electors. He was a conduit between other Trump attorneys, think Rudy Giuliani, and this effort here in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, let's not forget, wasn't he also retained by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson after Johnson's involvement with this
you implied
false
that
elector scheme?
You implied that that could be some sort of cover-up money paid to Troupas, you know, just sort of a little reciprocal amount, alleged, just opinion. But it was very clear that he is a partisan, right?
Yes.
He's on the red team. He's a Republican.
At a minimum, that's very clear. But I do think it's very important that what he did, Jim Troupas, as he supported Trump's efforts here in the state of Wisconsin to throw out 221,000 ballots in just only in Dane and Milwaukee County. And Hagedorn, we talk about Republican or conservative Hagedorn on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He became the 4-3. He held serve. And he couldn't believe it. He was lamenting the fact that this remedy that they asked for was so extreme. It was so absolutely extreme. That's what he was fighting for. That's what he was. And let's remember now, fast forward. It was all BS. It was all BS. Fox was lying about it. Trump was lying about it. They went through, 61 losses out of 62 cases. It was all BS. And Troupas was knee-deep in the middle of all of it.
So, Dominic, in the midst of a spring elective cycle to pick a Supreme Court, probably, perhaps, change the dynamic of the court. If Janet Protasiewicz wins, if the liberal Shiro wins, well, guess what? We go from a 4-3 conservative court that would decide today that this clearly partisan man, perhaps criminally conspiratorial in the seditious conspiracy against the government of the United States, the Constitution, the vice president. I mean, hell, he is, I believe Troupas has been sued for his involvement in the false litigation, the lacking merit litigation, and of course, his efforts to overturn the election through a recount, Dom. But the court, in a 4-3 decision, again, along ideological lines, Dom, came to a little more than a month before the election that could flip the balance of the court. Well, we know about that. Troupas, first term on the committee, which offers guidance. Here's the point. I'm jumping around here a bit. Troupas was reappointed to a 3-year term on the Ethics Committee by a 4-3 partisan ideological vote.
Yes.
And Troupas' first term on the committee, which offers guidance to judges on compliance with the state's code of judicial conduct, is set to expire on March 7th.
So what does the state code of judicial conduct say about, encouraging and accomplicing the passing and false fraudulent electors?
It's going to be a little embarrassing for Judicial Conduct Advisory Committee member Judge Troupas, were he to be criminally charged, indicted in this matter, and perhaps to the 4-3 current members of the court that would vote to make this partisan decision. His reappointment was approved by Chief Justice Annette Ziegler, Justices Rebecca Bradley, Brian Hagedorn, and Patience Rogasek, who is retiring when her term ends in July. There are the court's four conservatives, liberals Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Dallet, and Jill Karofsky, dissented. Former state Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske, who served on the court from 93 to 98 after being appointed by Governor Tommy Thompson and winning a subsequent election, said it's unusual to see justices dissent on such an appointment.
Yeah.
The request for comment on the majority ruling did not receive an immediate response. The committee is composed of six judges, one court commissioner, one attorney, and one member of the public. Members are limited to 2 6-year terms. 2 6-years. Well, that's a little confusion, Jesse. I thought it was a 3-year.
There's a little more
what
to
it. What about the quotes?
Yeah, here
give me
we
some
go.
Quotes.
It's unfortunate. Four of my colleagues have signed off on such a divisive pick, Dallet said in response to the Cap Times questions. We dissented because Mr. Troupas is a partisan who appears often in court and was just before us in a widely reported, highly controversial case, which resulted in an attempted weaponization of the disciplinary process against Justice Karofsky and me. One would think there would be less divisive leaders who would come together to agree to appoint to these roles. Dallet was referring to a complaint filed against herself and Karofsky with the Wisconsin Judicial Commission in 2021 after the state Supreme Court rejected Trump's effort to throw out more than 170,000 absentee ballots in Dana, Milwaukee County. We just talked about that. That was a 4-3 vote, Hagedorn joining the liberals. The commission did not pursue the complaint against Dallet and decided in November of 22 not to discipline Karofsky, although it did advise that judges should remain neutral and detached to avoid sarcasm. I guess my wife will never be a judge. Kurofsky had, during the case, accused Troupas of pushing the court to overturn the selection so your king can stay in power.
Wasn't that what he was trying to accomplish? So literally,
yes.
This soon-to-be reelected, or I guess he was reelected, commissioner on the Ethics Commission was also a litigant before the court, and he's the one that also, what, gets to rule on whether or not the court treated him fairly? A little too much disdain for his disdain for the Constitution, Dom?
And Kurofsky, I think, justly, perhaps shocked, irritated. I mean, what would you call it? You come in here and they complain about how the game was played. If you look at the ruling at the time, they wanted to change the rules after the everything was done and try to throw out only those votes in Dane and Milwaukee County. How is that just?
Beyond that, Troupas, a former Dane County Circuit Court judge, was, according to the 2022 New York Times report, one of the first to be looped into Trump's campaign's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election by deploying slates of Republicans who signed certificates falsely, declaring themselves to be duly elected electors of their states.
Oh, he was in the loop, huh?
He was one of the first to be in the loop, Dom. He was part of the conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy, I would allege, Judge Troupas. During the Trump-initiated recount of Wisconsin's 2020 election, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that Troupas sought to have ballots that he and his wife had cast thrown out as they both voted using the state's in-person absentee option. Better to throw out his own vote.
To martyr his own vote.
Than, you know, not overturn the will of the electorate to favor his preferred candidate.
That's someone, sounds like someone who's really got a good handle on ethics and, you know, behavior.
Here's what Geske said. There is no question that Jim Troupas is a very, very able lawyer, but he clearly is a representative and advocate for the Republican Party. Geske argued the state's high court should do all it can to demonstrate its impartiality and indifference to political parties, especially as partisan interests increasingly weigh in on the upcoming elections. The institutions are only as strong as people's faith in them. And I think clearly this undermines faith in the group. The court ought to be doing everything it can to convince people that they are not doing that. And this appointment, unfortunately, undermines that.
I concur, Judge.
So that is the first of my many probable grievances for this Friday. That's how we play the game, people. You can play it too. Just dial us up. Devil's Advocates, we air the grievances at 844-967-2789. So you gotta let me know.
Business ethics.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines, 844-967-2789.
I feel like we're playing this tune, this Tom Petty, for Glenn Grothman. Don't come round here no more.
One of my grievances, Crudy.
Well, lay it on us, fella.
Oh, can you believe this? Growthy Grothman. Glenn Grothman, U.S. Rep. Can you believe this guy? I mean, he is the Trumpiest House member, right? Of
he
them
was.
All.
The Trumpiest of all the Trumpsters.
I mean,
and if his president,
Trumpy.
If Trumpy called him Grothman, actually,
Grothman.
Trump called him Grothman. So for like 2 years, he was going by Grothman. Like, he changed his name, like the pronunciation. He just started calling himself Grothman because that's what Trump, that's how Trumpy this guy is.
The most Trumpy congressman in Congress, Glenn Grothman. Well, apparently he wants to stay in Washington longer than he previously said he would.
Another Republican breaking the pledge for term limits, Dom.
sacrificing, you know, for you, because only they can fix it. Kurti, the Glenn Beulah Republican, indicated this week he would break a pledge he made during his first campaign for Wisconsin's 6th congressional district to serve. Only 5 2-year terms in the House, telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he plans to remain on Capitol Hill after his current term ends in 2024. Well, right now we're campaigning and raising money, Grothman said when asked about his campaign pledge to serve only 5 terms. I have only been here for only 2 of my 10 years I've been here, in which we had a majority with the Republican president, he added in a brief interview. And I look forward to having that situation 2 years from today.
What?
So it was 10 years, and then, well, I was going to do only 10, but since I only had 2 years of a Republican president in those, I'm just changing it a little bit. So don't, I mean, I'm here for you. I am here to serve. I'm the Trumpiest Trumper there ever trumped.
Remember when he used to come around to our show?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was a state senator then. He has not been on this program since he was elected to Congress. But the unbelievable part is that's been more than 8 years.
I cannot even believe it, dude. I know. How is that possible?
The 6th Congressional District.
Oh,
it will
come
not,
on, people.
I'm telling you, the dynamics, and I'm not talking about a newly cast map and perhaps a changed congressional district. I'm talking about this guy in his current district as an incumbent. Glenn, I got to tell you, we're coming for you, fella.
Yeah.
We got some poll now up in the 6th CD6, Dom. A little bit more from Grothman. The issues facing America are so pressing. We need to act now or we might lose our country altogether. Yet, D-bags like you, Glenn, quite frankly, if these issues are not solved in the next 10 years, it will probably be too late.
Yeah,
you know, he's not talking about climate change or restoring abortive rights for women
or
legalizing marijuana.
With trans people, I'm sure it's something like that.
Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District is solidly Republican, at least till we got there. Grothman has won the East Central Wisconsin District by double digits in each general election,
what?
In which he has faced a challenger. The closest race was 18 when Dan Cole mounted a well-funded bid for the seat, but Grothman still carried the district by 11 points. Democrats last year failed to run a candidate.
That's a little...
That should not ever happen again against Glenn Grothman. If he is a congressman, there should be people to lining up Republicans and Democrats to run against them. Anyways, Grothman broke his pledge. Big shocker. Running for re-election. 844-967-2789.
Well, and this is now he's been here. I mean, obviously, he was in this state senate for quite some time as well. I mean, he's getting to be like a long term like politician. What else has he done? It's been a while, Glenn.
I'd like to stick around, but I gotta get to Fond du Lac. Andy from Beaver Dam. Glenn's your congressman, is he not?
Hey,
or is
Andy.
That Fitzy?
Well, you're right. Don't you long for the days when Grossman used to live in his mother's basement in West Bend?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he still does, Andy.
We don't know.
But he lives in Glenn Beulah, which is up in Sheboygan County. But they told Tom Petrie that he was going to run again as a moderate Republican senator. He was a good one for a Republican. And they him and that other bald-headed guy from Sheboygan said, don't even think about running again. Because we're gonna, you know, what he called primary you, and so he voluntarily said, "Well, I'm gonna retire." But
Guys like Pete Try and Obi, I mean, we had those guys on our show, Andy. I don't know if you knew us back then, but we were pretty damn cool from the get go. But yeah, there used to be moderates, and you look at guys like Glenn Grothman and Tom Tiffany and. Where have all the moderates gone? Van Orden.
Gerald Van Orden? Really?
Now we get insurrectionist. I want to sneak one more in before I find guest Dan Lenz from Law Forward, a new ethics complaint filed against corrupted Supreme Court candidate Michael Gableman. We'll tell you all about it in just a few. But first, OG Claire with her Friday grievance.
Hey, what's happening, Claire?
Hi, Devils.
Hey, Claire.
My complaint is, dang it. Let's start tossing these terms back on the Republicans, like radical and extreme.
Radical, Dan Kelly.
Radical. Yeah.
The Protasiewicz campaign is definitely labeling Dan Kelly as a radical and extremist. Extreme on abortion, extreme on, well, hell, extreme on even the Constitution. He's not really for it.
Yeah, that really ticks me off, that story about Gableman and what's the guy's name? It starts with a T.
Well, Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, they're all involved.
Troupas.
Giuliani, Andrew Hitt, Bob Spindell, Wisconsin Elections Commissioner. I mean, they were all involved in a coup attempt, Claire. That should be troubling to all our friends.
Hey, didn't Scott Fitzgerald's staffer let him into the Capitol or something like that? I mean,
that might have been one of LeMahieu's staffers.
LeMahieu's staffers. All right.
OG Claire. So
and we can't forget, of course, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Claire, have a wonderful weekend. Keep listening because we got a fine guest. He is Daniel Lenz from Law Forward. An ethics complaint filed against Gableman. I wish it was worse. More devils. Come back.
Homosexuality is not something that we should be supporting.
Whoever says that is a stupid idiot.
If you're not happy here, you can leave.
Now I feel bad that I have to go, but I'm supposed to be in Fond du Lac.
Ha ha! Shame on you.
What? Shame on you.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Dom, we welcome back a fine guest from Law Forward. He is Daniel Lenz. Dan, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'm so happy to be back.
Well, let me ask you, Dan. My understanding is Law Forward has filed a very comprehensive ethics complaint against Michael Gableman. Is it for being a bad fiduciary and squandering $2.5 million and counting of the taxpayers' money? Does that factor in the money?
The money does factor in. One of the issues that we raise in our complaint is how Mr. Gableman, in the course of his investigation, squandered a lot of money on things like going to South Dakota to talk to Mike Lindell, going to Arizona to review the Cyber Ninjas audit, paying for all of his out-of-state attorneys who he hired to fly in and out of Madison or in and out of Brookfield and eat a lot of Chipotle. So the money's part of it, but it's definitely not all of it.
You know, Dan, I was kind of being a smartass there. I didn't realize the monetary factor actually does factor in. To what end this investigation? It seemed like it was motivated by some pressure exerted by the former president, Donald Trump, on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And Gableman had already been going around the state effectively calling the election rigged, as a former Supreme Court justice seemed a little reckless, but certainly did not seem like the qualifier to be the special counsel. But when Robin Voss wanted to take the political heat off from the Trumpsters, he had to turn to someone. He turned to Gableman. And where did this go astray? Because Gableman could have done a straightforward investigation, assuming he was actually competent to do one. And there are some questions about whether or not he was competent.
Right.
But he could have done a straight job here. But it doesn't seem like, you know, he kind of colored in between the lines, Dan.
Right. So it went astray from the jump. I don't think there was ever a point where this was going to be a good faith or well done investigation or uncover anything interesting. Mr. Gableman, as you mentioned, before even he got the job, he disqualified himself and he probably should have turned it down. And that's one of the things we address in our complaint. But immediately upon being hired, Mr. Gableman, it seems, did nothing for about 2 months. He says he worked in the New Berlin Public Library. That may be true. He kept no records. He did no substantive work. He provided no reports to the assembly. And at the end of that process, he said he didn't know anything about elections. So, you know, we addressed legal competence, whether he was an appropriately competent attorney for this job. Based on everything we've seen, everything he represented to the court, he was not.
Well, Dan Lenz, Law Forward, I got to ask you then, is that make him competent for the Supreme Court? I mean, if he's not even competent, you know, as an attorney on the job for Robin Voss, what does that say about his judicial reviews?
Our complaint had nothing to do with his past work, except we note that during his tenure on the Supreme Court, he made a lot of decisions about attorney discipline. Attorney discipline comes before the court. He should have known these rules. He should have known the rules that he applied to other attorneys as a member of the court. And, you know, these aren't a mystery. These are the rules that all attorneys operate under, that I operate under, that the folks in my office operate under, and that Mr. Gableman was bound to.
Well, and it does make sense. I think Crudy mentioned reckless, and it certainly, you know, doesn't give me faith when I see people like him hold a license when knowing that a guy like this is on the Supreme Court and he's acting in this manner. Look, he seemed very incompetent to me, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would think if they're going to have someone do this, that they say they're a lawyer, they'd follow the lawyer rules, Dan. What about some of the pressure applied? I mean, he wanted to, like, what, arrest mayors if they didn't come down to the strip mall and submit to his interrogations? I mean, are those types of behaviors addressed in your complaint?
They are. So something I should mention at the top is we represented one of those mayors, Mayor Genrich, the mayor of Green Bay, in that litigation where Mr. Gableman was trying to jail the mayors of Green Bay and Madison and then a whole other group of people later on. But we did not write this complaint on behalf of anyone, on behalf of any clients. We wrote this complaint pursuant to our own ethical obligations as attorneys when we see wrongdoing to bring it to the attention of the proper body. But yes, I mean, that is in our complaint because both the subpoenas from the assembly that Mr. Gableman was trying to pursue and then the way he tried to pursue it, which was slapdash at best, we think violated the rules. And if you're going to do something as serious as try to jail elected officials for, as you mentioned, failing to comply, we think they did comply with these subpoenas that are arguably unlawful in the first place, you should do a better job. And we think the job that he did didn't meet the standards required for attorneys.
Our fine guest, Dan Linz from Law Forward. Dan, at times, Gableman seemed contemptuous of the legal process. I think Megan Wolf gave some testimony. Does that factor into the complaint, the treatment of the elections commissioner? I think she heads the elections commission. I forget her precise title, but he was misogynist at best, contemptuous of the court at worst. Where's that factor in, Dan? Page what, so I can look it up later?
I can probably tell
no,
you.
No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. I kid again.
So, yeah, I mean, a couple of things there. So Megan Wolf's the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And as you mentioned, Mr. Gableman made really misogynistic comments that are clearly targeted towards Administrator Wolf's gender, the way she dresses, that are not allowed for attorneys conducting their duties. You can't say things like that. You can't target people based on their race, their gender, if they have a disability. And that's something else that we also raised before the Office of Lawyer Regulation, which are, you know, it seemed when he presented to the assembly on March 1st that Mr. Gableman and others in his office that he was supervising went out of his way to target individuals with disabilities, individuals who were living in nursing homes, in an attempt to, I don't even know what, to establish something. And you can't do that. You know, we shouldn't do that as human beings, and you certainly can't do as an attorney.
Dan, Gableman was also being paid effectively on the taxpayers' dollar, but he was further contemptuous of all public records, seemingly. Didn't want to produce any evidence of any work product he had done. Was apparently deciding arbitrarily what was important and what, deleting or shredding the rest. That's been a very expensive contempt he's had for the public records process. I believe American Oversight's won a handful of suits against him, and we, the taxpayers, keep picking up the bill for this guy. Right. But what's your thought? I mean, anyone that was a Supreme Court justice that takes such contempt for the legal process.
Yeah, and we're fortunate in Wisconsin to have a robust open record statute. It means the public can find out what's going on with their government, what their government's spending money on, when their government spends money on things like this. But as you mentioned, Mr. Gableman didn't think those rules applied to him for a long time and had to be reminded over and over by the courts that they did, in fact, apply. And that has incurred a lot of legal bills that, to be clear, were entirely his fault. If he had followed the rules, if the assembly had followed the rules about contractors, about open records, those bills would not have been levied against them.
Dan, what about the conclusion, quote unquote, of this investigation, at least the preliminary conclusion? If I remember correctly, Gableman advised that we should strongly consider decertifying the 2020 election. I mean, as a legal conclusion, I think earlier he had, of course, stated that's preposterous. You can't arrive at that as a conclusion, yet that was what he told the public in this public role as a special counselor. Does that factor in?
That judgment? It does. I got to tell you, in a 108-page complaint, a lot of things factor in. So the decertification, it was one of the most shocking things, and it got national attention. But here's what we know. As early as November 2021, frankly, earlier than that, but that's the most kind of clearly established date, the legislature's own attorneys, the legislative council, told them that there's no such thing as decertification. That does not exist under our laws. Gableman showed up 6 months later and said that the legislature should take a hard look at decertifying the 2020 election results. But, and that's bad enough, right? To take that position. That's not a position that's founded in law. But what we also know is that a few days later, he sent a memo to Robin Voss saying, you really can't do that. It would be practically impossible. And in fact, it would be adverse to the assembly's interest because it would tie everything up for months. So what does that mean if you're telling the assembly committee on whose behalf Gableman was theoretically working one thing about what they should do, and then you're going around and you're telling Robin Voss other things about what the assembly should do? There's a disconnect there, and we think that he was fundamentally just not being forthright with the assembly committee and with the public. Those were public hearings, and it was doing it in some ways towards the public.
Is that a nice way of calling him a liar, counselor?
Well, I mean, part of our complaint is that we think he was dishonest in a lot of ways. He was dishonest with Speaker Voss, with the committee, with the assembly, with the public, with us, with our clients, with the courts. Attorneys, despite our reputation, attorneys are supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be forthright. We're not supposed to hide the ball. And instead, Mr. Gableman obviously did the opposite whenever he could.
Dan Lenz, Law Forward Staff Counsel. Now that this complaint has been filed, the Office of Lawyer Regulation, what happens next? What's the remedy? What's the time frame?
That's up to the Office of Lawyer Regulation. We hope they move expediently, but we know that they have a lot going on, a lot on their plate. And frankly, there's a lot here. I mean, we filed a 108-page complaint. We filed with it 428 pages of supporting documents. It's going to take someone a while to read it, and I appreciate that. And Mr. Gableman will have a chance to respond. What the ultimate remedy will be up to the Office of Lawyer Regulation, ultimately the Supreme Court. But we hope that there is some sort of accountability for everything that happened here over the past couple of years.
Dan, we know when there were ethical complaints filed against Gableman when he was newly elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court for his campaign indiscretions, the court basically log-jammed and nothing happened. So as a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, could theoretically the outcome of the upcoming election here on April 4th determine whether or not Michael Gableman actually suffers any consequence? Because the example of the court earlier today reappointing Jim Troupas as an ethics advisor by a 4-3, that doesn't show me anything except for partisanship under the current 4-3 makeup of the court.
I tend to think that the what we outline in our complaint, and I want to be clear, we're not the first ones to make a complaint. Mr. Gableman was referred to OLR by a Dane County judge. He's been referred by a Milwaukee attorney. But we think what's established in our complaint and the previous complaints falls so outside the lines that it shouldn't matter who's on the court, that there has to be some accountability. The court has to take seriously its role in regulating the bench and bar.
Come on, Dan, you're not naive. You know how this works. Well,
I also think everyone should vote on April 4th.
Yes, absolutely. God, everyone go vote.
Glass half full and all that kind of stuff. Dan, any thoughts, any final information about the lawsuit you think our audience should know?
Yeah, any highlights that we missed?
Ethics Dan. Complaint, my bad.
Yeah, I'll say this because it's come up already, which is, you know, we for a long time said that the 2020 election should be over. It was free, it was fair, it was certified, it's done. And I don't take a lot of pleasure in having to revisit a lot of this stuff. But when folks spread conspiracy theories, when they try to overturn the election, when they take some of the extreme actions that we saw here, there have to be consequences. Otherwise, we're just going to see it again in a couple of years. So that's why we did this. And we had no obligation to do so.
Hell, that's an excellent grievance. On behalf of Law Forward and our friend Dan Lenz, thanks for coming around this Friday. Have a great weekend, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. You can air your grievances. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. We'll go to the phones, and then the happier Happy Hour Friday edition, Dom's favorite day of the week.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. Join us. Air your Friday grievances. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, Daniel Lenz from Law Forward, staff attorney thereof, and the newest in ethics complaint against former corrupted Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Gableman. And I'd say put the ethics complaints in line. Gableman, Troupas, Andrew Hitt,
right, just
Bob Spindell.
Edit the doc, swap out the names, the most of it stands.
844-967-2789. On Friday, we air the grievances, and yours could be next, but not before our pal, Maggie Dawn. Welcome, Maggie Dunn. How you doing, girl?
Hey, Maggie. Happy Friday.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday to you.
What
both.
A pleasant so surprise great. When our legal eagle calls in as just a caller on a Friday. You got a grievance to air, sister?
A regular old listener. Yeah. Well, my grievance is the fact that it might take a while before Gableman's license gets yanked.
There will it get yanked? To your opinion, counselor?
I agree with Attorney Lenz that his behavior and conduct is so far beyond the bounds that it would be hard for any judge, and certainly the justices on the Supreme Court, if they sanction that behavior, what does that say to all other lawyers, right? Like, that sets a precedent, and it becomes extremely hard to ever sanction any other lawyer that would behave in that manner. And let's be clear about the manner. Sexist comments on the record, attacking the judge, refusing to respond to questions while under oath, flouting the open records laws, lying, knowing lies before an assembly and Senate committee, engaging in personal attacks, and all of this, the waste of the money, all of it. If that's okay, what isn't okay?
Well, Maggie Dawn, so let me interrupt. See if you agree with Counselor Crudy. Despite the litany of malfeasance and ethical shortcomings of corrupted former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman, as enumerated in the 108-page ethical complaint from Law Forward today, Maggie Dawn, doesn't it really come down to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? I mean, judging by what they did today, a 4-3 reappointment of Jim Troupas, and you know who Jim Troupas is, to the what?
Sure,
Judicial Ethics Committee? Something of that sort? He's going to advise? So, Maggie, if we know that this is a partisan court in its current form, and the only court that really has say on yanking a law license is the Wisconsin Supreme Court, doesn't this really come down, whether or not there's justice for the state of Wisconsin against Gableman ethically, doesn't it come down to a state Supreme Court race?
Here's what I think is going to happen, is that the OLR is going to write an absolutely scathing rebuke and recommend sanctions of Mr. Gableman. And it's going to take a long time. And what they're going to try to do if they do their job well is make effectively an ironclad case that paints the conduct in such a way and makes arguments based on the Supreme Court's own rules. That's where the attorney rules of conduct and ethics reside in the state of Wisconsin. In such a way that it would be extraordinarily difficult for the court to not follow the OLR's recommendation. And here's where we get back to who's running for the Supreme Court. You have, on the one hand, a candidate who, during the primary, basically said that the litmus test for the candidate from the conservative side should be whether or not they will side with partisanship in all cases. That is out of Dan Kelly's own mouth. I will not agree to support Jennifer Darrow if she wins the primary because she might, quote, pull a Hagedorn, which basically means she might follow the law and break ranks with conservative interests when the law requires it. So, yeah, I do think that it matters who's on the court, but I do think that the work of the Office of Lawyer Regulation here will be absolutely essential. I applaud Attorney Lynn and Attorney Jeff Mandel from Stafford Rosenbaum who put this quite, what I'm going to call a magnum opus of what Mr. Gableman has engaged in over these many years. And I'll say what maybe somebody else wouldn't. Big shock there, right?
Go ahead.
Michael Gableman was incompetent to ever sit on the Supreme Court, and those that sat with him know it. His incompetence was proven tenfold, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, by his behavior when he was the special counsel's investigation. And let's remember, he had absolutely no basis to refuse the open records request. This isn't a criminal investigation. This was a civil investigation, right, at the behest of the legislature. So he was incompetent then, he's incompetent now, and as they say amongst lawyers, you know, if you argue, if you don't have the facts, you argue the law, you pound the law. If you don't have the law, you pound the facts. And if you don't have the facts or the law, you pound the table. Michael Gableman couldn't discern fact from fiction, and he certainly doesn't know law from rhetoric. And so he just invented it, right? He invented it wholesale, grossly incompetent. And there are attorney rules that basically say if you're not competent to do the work that you're hired to do, you can't accept that work, or you need to recuse yourself.
Thank God nothing like that in talk radio.
But Maggie, let's talk about this. Let me throw this in. We only got less than 2 minutes left in this segment. But if you look what's happening in the national news right now, Jack Smith investigating Trump for various issues, or calling, you know, his attorneys in for different in front of grand juries. At what point does something of incompetence, does it become a criminal? Be it with Gableman and or with Troopers, because this has been known now to be a seditious conspiracy with lots and lots of different parts. Maggie, what's your thought?
Yeah, I think Troopas' exposure lies in his conduct in the days leading up to and on January 6th, right? And his involvement with the Eastman cabal, right? And effectively trying to undo the Constitution, usurp the will of...
Maggie, sorry to interrupt again, but do you see Dan Kelly...
Problem.
Maggie, do you see Dan Kelly having similar exposure?
Depends on what he did, and we don't know an attorney-client privilege applies, except, of course, there's the crime fraud exception. There's a lot that has to transpire here before we would get there with Mr. Kelly. But all lawyers that conspired with Eastman and Troopas to install fake electors should be damn worried.
Maggie Dawn, always excited to hear from you. Have a wonderful weekend, sister. Come back, Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour. Your grievances could be next. 844-967-2789.
Thanks, Maggie.